What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions. My name is George Samietz, and I'm a pastor of the ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, currently serving Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk, and looking after Good Shepherd Coventry and St. Columba East Kilbride. The details of these congregations and all ELCE congregations are found on the ELCE website, www.lutheran.co.uk. That's www.lutheran.co.uk. Today we've got a biblical question. Not that all questions don't go back to the Bible for my answers, but today this one comes directly from a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Of course, the best way to understand Scripture is to read Scripture, and the best way to understand a verse is to read more verses, particularly those before and after the verse in question. So that's what we'll do today. If you're listening to this via the podcast, then why not pause and go and grab your Bible? Not that it is necessary, but it is nice and helpful, I think, to see the writing on the page and where on the page in your Bible to help you recall and make links with this section and all of it. We should always be trying to remember or recall or discover what a verse or chapter or book of the Bible says in relation to the whole Bible, which tells us the story of human sin and God's grace. That's the repeating theme from Genesis to Revelation. It's the characters and time and place that change, but these two messages are always found. So what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? The verse is read in most lectionaries once every 3 years, in early July, and if you're using a one-year lectionary, you'll probably hear it just before Ash Wednesday. Now, this verse is generally found in a section, probably chapter 12, 1-9, though sometimes the reading might go back into chapter 11, and sometimes verse 10 is added. Now, I mention this for two reasons. One, to emphasize the need for reading verses of the Bible in context. And two, to point out that as a lectionary reading, and not all the Bible is read in public worship each year or each 3 years, this mention of the thorn in the flesh comes into our consciousness. We hear it regularly over a lifetime, together with other phrases that are pretty well known in Christian circles, and even in non-Christian ones, phrases such as, "My grace is sufficient for you," and "My power is made perfect in weakness," and "When I am weak, then I am strong." In the New Testament, we have two letters from Paul to the congregation in Corinth. That Paul wrote more, which we don't have, is pretty obvious when you read the letters, because there is a sense of contact and communication, him with them and they, or sections of the congregation, for example, Chloe's household, with him. And we're overhearing, as it were, lives in relationships. The letter we call 2 Corinthians is sometimes thought of as two letters put together because there seems to be a big break between chapters 1 to 9 and 10 and 13. Or it could mean that Paul was interrupted when writing with more news from Corinth, to which he then responds. So what we find in these last chapters of 2 Corinthians, that's chapters 10 through to 13, is Paul defending his apostolic ministry. What seems to have happened is that other people, so-called super apostles, have come to Corinth, proclaimers and teachers of God's word, who measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, and whom Paul sees as presenting another Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel. And so Paul sees what is happening there as an attack on the gospel. In comparison to these people, Paul appears poorly spoken and has a weak physical presence. His reminder that he didn't make himself a financial burden on them is possibly a counter to these new preachers being supported by the Corinthians. If we look at how Paul speaks, we might work back that these people, and we don't really know exactly what they are, missionaries, itinerant preachers, seem to promote experiences as the foundation of faith and spirituality. Paul sees their agenda as one of power and success, and these people as false apostles. So to counter this situation, Paul plays the fool in chapter 11. If boasting is the name of the game, then so be it. Paul will boast as well. But listen carefully, because such boasting might not be what the Corinthians expect. So Paul boasts, foolishly. Pity he didn't do it earlier, he suggests. Now, is that sarcasm? But since this is what the Corinthians understand and look for, so here it is. He then boasts magnificently of his weaknesses and sufferings. Then, pausing to catch a breath, so to speak, Paul goes on to talk about his own visions and ecstatic revelations, but notice how he distances them. He doesn't want them to be the center point, the focus. And so he places these experiences behind weakness and suffering, and here is where the thorn in the flesh is mentioned, because he wants center stage always to be God's grace, and that means the cross. Remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul said that the only message he wanted them to know was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because if that isn't the core and the foundation of everything else that is Christianity, then we're no longer secure in our faith, or maybe even saved. So let's listen to Paul. I repeat, let no one think me foolish, but even if you do, accept me as a fool, so that I too may boast a little. What I am saying with this boastful confidence, I say not as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes you slave, devours you, takes advantage of you, puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's good to get the context, a wider view. I hold that Paul is speaking obliquely about his own experiences, private, personal, spiritual experiences, the stuff we can crave, have only real value for the individual and do not of themselves build up the body of Christ. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians that he'd rather say 5 meaningful words in the church than 1,000 words in a tongue. Paul is neither attacking or denigrating personal experiences, or tongues for that matter, but he's smart enough to put together to see how human sin, our pride, even in Christians, worms its way to get in front of Christ, to take the focus away from Jesus and his cross. There is a danger here, a genuine one. Paul has a pastoral concern here. This isn't ego talking, that in the sharing of personal spiritual experiences, there can quickly develop spiritual one-upmanship, and one starts comparing oneself to others, and one forgets to look back to Jesus and see how he determines our relationship with him, sin and grace. Paul believes that if he had spoken of his revelations, if he had boasted on behalf of such a one, then eventually his audience would walk down the path of pride. My experience is better than yours. Or despair. I haven't had that experience. What's wrong with me? And either way, Christ is excluded, or at best, moved to the corner. So if Paul is going to boast, then it will be about his weaknesses, lack of power, lack of strength. And he talks about many areas of life, physical, social, economic, and spiritual. It is in this context that the thorn in the flesh is mentioned. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. The Greek word for thorn, skolops, is used only here in the New Testament. It can mean cross, stake, and thorn. It can also have a minor or smaller meanings, including the point of a fishhook, a surgical instrument, a spur on a bird's leg, a peg on a musical instrument. And so we have the idea of something with a pointy bit. Now, this isn't the word used in the New Testament for the cross, so we'll remove that interpretation from here. Stake is possible, but it seems awkward to imagine the picture, and so the most popular translation is thorn, because whatever Paul's malady is, it is painful, but not fatal. I think how you translate this word depends on how much pain you think Paul was in. The greater the pain, and you might go to stake as an interpretation, which is akin to crucifixion perhaps. But if it is less than that, though painful and debilitating nonetheless, then we're back to thorn. The picture also suggests a physical ailment rather than a spiritual one or a persistent interpersonal conflict. There have been suggestions through the centuries that the thorn was something to do with Paul's eyesight. The Galatians were prepared to pluck out their own eyes for him. But it might also have been, according to the scholars through the centuries, epilepsy, malaria, depression, or a speech defect. The truth is, we don't know. However, it is interesting that Paul says that it was given to him. And that way of speaking, the passive form, is often understood as a divine passive, so it suggests God's activity, for he oversees all things. God gave Paul an ecstatic experience, and also a thorn in the flesh. And he mentions it twice in the verse, to keep him from being conceited. Nevertheless, Paul also describes it as a messenger of Satan. And in the ancient world, there was a view that the demonic brought about sicknesses and disease. And in this case, he has limited reign to harass Paul. And our minds may be linked with Job here. For this messenger of Satan strikes, beats, cuffs, uses his fists on Paul, harasses Paul. That's how Paul experienced it. In other words, this doesn't tickle. It hurts. And pain is something we all rebel against. There's the deep cry, God, what are you doing? Did you notice how Paul mentioned that this thorn existed so that he wouldn't be conceited, and that he mentioned it twice? Surely that is important. Will the Corinthians listen? Will the super apostles listen? Will we listen? What should we listen to? Surely it has to be the words, the message of the cross. Paul goes on to talk about grace, and this focuses on God and not his trinkets, what he might do for us according to our wishes, but what he has done for us through Jesus' death. The world craves power. People want to do their own thing as much as possible. However, the Christian discovers power only through daily repentance. That is our experience touchstone of our faith. Any other spiritual experience is a personal gift. But for daily living in the world, we need solid anchor points, guaranteed points of contact with God, so that we're not looking at each other or fearing we're playing mind games with ourselves. And so we return to God's Word, to baptism, and to Holy Communion, so that our focus, our being, is centered on Jesus. This means we don't get the life we might want. Paul didn't get the thorn removed, but that we live with God through faith, not sight, meaning also experiences. Yes, this might be a daily struggle at times, maybe for a long time, but we learn, we grow, in whatever highlights Jesus. Paul is not a wimp or a defeated soul, a victim of his own inertia or lack of striving. No, he is a person not dependent on the externals, the world's standards, to measure power and success, but instead is strengthened and sustained by the foolishness of the cross, personally and in his ministry. And it is the same for us. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samietz, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.